Good morning. I want to greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. I count it a privilege to be here with you and to enjoy this time together. I too was very blessed by the songs that were chosen. Both of them started with the present, where we're here right now, and took us into the presence of God, where we will be at the end of time, when our life here is over. And so it was the whole purpose of being here. So I appreciated that. I never noticed the scope on both of those songs that we sang until this morning. So that was a blessing. Also appreciated the words from Lamentations, how true that is. Well, here we are on the cusp of another term of Bible school. And there's a lot of things been done to get to this point. There's a lot of people involved that were working behind the scenes up to this point. And there's a lot going to happen in the next few weeks. But fortunately for you, you know, you might look at different people and say, you know, is this going to be a good term or not? But the person that makes this to be a good term is here today. Now, you might look around at the faculty and say, you know, I could ask you to point to the one that you think is going to be the one that's going to make this a good term. And it might be. But the most important thing, I mean, if you're going to point, it's your fingers pointing back at you that will determine whether it is or not. So you are the one. The one sitting in your chair is the one that's going to decide. It's going to be the deciding factor of whether this is good or not. And so I would like to share with you this morning some scriptures from some eternal scriptures again, but also some things that I have to think about. It was 50 years ago that I went to Bible school. It was actually, I went when I was 16, so it was a little bit more than 50 years ago. But some of the things are the same. Many things are the same. Some things have changed. But the things that are the same are, when we sat here this morning just a few minutes ago, there was an air of quiet expectation. There was a reverent silence. That was beautiful. I remember that too. And when that's in evidence at the beginning, there's an expectation, and God always fills. He gives more than we expect. So if we can come in that spirit, and then we know that that's going to be filled. But there's many things that make a good term. You know, the administration, of course, the principal, the matrons, the assistants, all that. I have really good memories of my time at Bible school years ago and the interactions that we would have sometimes with those people. You know, we have the teachers, the classes, they're instructive, they're beneficial, they're informative, they're interesting. That's also a big part. The chapel talks, the special meetings, the prayer times, the sharing times, all of those things together create a very good atmosphere. But one of the things I didn't learn in my first year at Bible school was that when I left there, I didn't have a camera, I didn't have any method of recording, and I said, next year if I come back, I'm going to have a camera. I wanted to have a camera, and I wanted to have a tape recorder. And because with the, you know, you all carry that in your pocket most of the time, but with those items, you can preserve some of your memories, and you can make it you can take it with you and you can relive some of that. What I didn't know is that it was more important to be than to have. It's more important to be than to have. And that's what I'd like to share with you this morning. That those things that Jesus spoke, those things that just truth that comes. If there is one thing that I would tell you that is most important, and that would be this, to love the truth. To love truth. Come prepared to, or have that in your heart, first of all, to love truth. If you will love the truth, you will obey the truth. And Jesus said that if you love the truth and obey the truth, that you will know the truth. And it just kind of opens up into more. But sadly, the inverse is true as well, that if we don't love the truth, if we don't obey the truth, we won't know the truth, and we'll believe a lie, and we'll be deceived, and there won't be any good in our life. So it's incredibly important to know the truth. Proverbs 2, there's a passage there that I'd like to read. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that if thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, and verse 5 it says, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Now, you know, it seems maybe strange to say, I hope here at Bible school that you can find the knowledge of God. But I do. That's really what we want. That's what we're here for. Because we are never going to exhaust it, no matter how long we live. We are going to be able to find something fresh, something new, something that will be an inspiration to us and help us to continue on. And so understanding the fear of the Lord is incredibly important. That phrase is used many, many times in the Old Testament, and especially in the book of Proverbs. It's used in Psalms, it's used in Isaiah, it's used over and over again. But it's only used one time in the New Testament. And that was when it's referencing the church in Acts, that they were walking in the fear of the Lord after Saul was converted and the persecution of the churches had kind of ceased because of his conversion. It says that they were walking in the fear of the Lord. But the fear of the Lord is simply this, is to understand who God is and who we are. It's both of those things together. Understand who God is and who we are. And there is so much that is involved in that fear of the Lord. Verse 5 again, then it says, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler for them to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of the saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, and every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee and understanding shall keep thee. That middle verse is kind of the anchor for all of these other things that he mentions here. How discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. When wisdom enters into your heart, then knowledge is pleasant to your soul, and so on. The thing that it starts with is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, it says in Psalms 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, it says in Proverbs. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. The beginning is the most important, or the principal part, it says in the Hebrew. It's the first part. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. And the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is the fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. By the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, men before honor is humility. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. You see that again and again, the writer speaks of the importance and how wide-ranging the fear of the Lord is. Our future is unknown, and we prepare for the present by taking good care of the present. And that's just a truth that has been proved again and again. We take care of the future by taking good care of the present. You know, we don't know what our future, what your future holds. It might be looking very different in a year or 10 years or 20 years from now than what it does to you here. But the important thing is to walk with God. Ephesians 5 has some words of wisdom for us there, talking about loving truth and loving wisdom. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. I would like for you, in 3 weeks after you, after this building is empty of Bible school students and staff and all that's related here, that you would leave and that wherever you go would be a better place because of a deeper commitment, a closer walk with God, a desire to serve him even more fully than what you have this morning. If that is a true experience, and then everything is worth it, it's been in a successful term, a good year. But I have to think back to our very first year of Bible school. I think it was the very first year, 1991. There was a couple there that were planning to get married, and they did. And quite a few years later, there was a tragedy that took the lives of all of their children. Excuse me, thank you. they couldn't have seen it coming back in the day. We knew them as sincere, dedicated people, but we couldn't see down the road either. But the testimony that their lives left after that very difficult, during that very difficult time, was, it simply couldn't be paralleled by anything else than the grace of God and the love of Jesus working in their hearts. They couldn't have been prepared for that trial except by taking good care of the present. Seeing what is most important in their life and walking that way. So this year, when we are engaged in making friends and good discussions and whatever else is going to build you up, do it with all your heart because of the fact that we want you to enjoy your time, to build relationships and be a blessing to those around. I would like to turn to Matthew and read the Beatitudes and think about these as we look at what Jesus said. Matthew 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I think that we could take any virtue that a Christian would have, and I think we could trace it back to one of these Beatitudes that Jesus said should be our expression and our experience. So in this first one, we see humility. Someone has said that God can do anything with humility and the devil can't do anything with humility. I don't know if that's 100% true or not, but it seems like it's really powerful. You know, I have to think of people that, even wicked people that humbled themselves, how God turned his heart and said, King Ahab says that he was one that worked wickedness in his day that like nothing else, and yet when he got the message that God was going to bring judgment on him, it says he rent his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and walked softly, and God said, oh, won't bring it on you in your day. He walked humbly. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And if we back up to where, if you really understand the fear of the Lord, you know who God is and you know who you are, it's not going to bring anything, but it'll bring a variety of things, but one of the things it'll bring is humility. That God, the creator of heaven and earth, that can speak the world into being, that can create stars out with his voice, wants to have a relationship with us. It's pretty humbling. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted, is the next verse. And there we have whatever mourning. You know that there is mourning for sin. There is mourning for, there's different kinds of mourning. I think primarily it's repentance. But there's also counting the cost. One book that really impressed me and actually is a cornerstone in my life, and that is the book called Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus. And that book is the story of a very devout Muslim comes in contact with a Christian and has long discussions with him. And the Christian man, they're going to school together, and they are doing their classes together, but they room together. They have a lot of discussions. The Muslim is, of course, trying to convert the Christian, and the Christian is simply standing on the Word of God. And in here, he brings the Muslim man to a point where he says the Bible isn't true, and he proves again and again that it is. But he's just reading for. He's at a point where he needs to make a decision. And he goes to the Quran and he reads and he can't find anything there. He opens the Bible to the New Testament and starts reading at Matthew. And he gets to this verse right here, where just in a few chapters in. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. He knew that if he rejected his Muslim background, which he thought he was pretty well convinced that Christianity is the way, but he couldn't quite pull the trigger on it. But he decided that this is going to it's going to affect his family. He'll lose his family, and so he was counting the cost on that. And he was mourning, actually. And here he comes across this verse that said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Well, he became a Christian, and he became a very bright light, a very gracious person to the Muslim community in answering their questions. Sadly, he developed stomach cancer and didn't live very long. He died at the age of 34. But his work is powerful. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. It's an interesting thing that the English language it kind of evolves a little bit. And I don't know, for most of you, meekness, we know that meekness isn't weakness, and yet that's kind of the thing that comes to our mind a little bit. Meek and lowly, just kind of mild. But meekness in the scriptural sense is not anything like weakness. It's not even close. It's controlled strength. It's just like we don't have to display it. It's controlled strength. Moses was the meekest man, it says, and when you look at Moses' life, you see that he was he had a position in life that was unlike any other person, really. In Hebrews, it talks about Moses. Let's see, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. But Moses was in line to be Pharaoh. Egypt was a world power. Moses could have been the top man in the world. And yet he chose this little Jewish nation to be a part of. He could have been the one man in the world's power there, but he didn't. He didn't choose that. He chose the people of God, and the Bible calls him a meek man. A man that had tremendous potential, controlled strength, not a weakling, but someone that was very significant in that. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I love that scripture. I love that part of it there. We all probably have experienced hunger and thirst. And here's a promise that when that is a part of our life, it's going to be filled. And that's, again, with Nabil Qureshi, this is the verse that he read, and he was hungry, and he just devoured this. And he just kept on reading the Bible all day long. He's supposed to be in class, but he skipped that, and he learned more here than he did in class. So this is something that he experienced. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Just, again, a promise for that. Those that have a desire to be associated with God, that this is one of the things that they'll do. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Years ago, I was reading a story about a gunmaker, Colt by name, and they had made this revolver called the Peacemaker. It was supposed to, and the idea was that it settles disputes, but you know that never works. It never works that way. The way that a dispute is settled is when hearts are reconciled to their Creator, and that's what our purpose here in life is to reconcile our fellow man, be first of all reconciled ourselves to our Creator, and then for our fellow man. So blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are those that reconcile people to God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Jesus had a different kind of message for the people in his day. It was one that he said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, but now is my kingdom not from hence. And his message was not one of setting up an earthly kingdom, but it was one that was going to draw people to God, and that's the message that he's still doing today. So, you know, as we go through this term, I hope that you will get full benefit, enjoy making new friends, deepening relationships with old friends. And if you haven't made a commitment to follow Christ, I hope that this is the time that this will happen for you. And that for all of us, wherever we are, our commitment will be deeper and we will draw close to Him. I'd like for us to repeat or quote Psalms 1 together. I think that's a familiar scripture. Let's just do this. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, but he is rather like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water. The righteous man is like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in his season. It was very interesting to me to learn that what is beneath the surface of a tree is equal to what we see above a tree, above the ground. In length, all the branches that are put together, there's that much root underneath. And every little root hair goes out there and grabs some water and takes it through its straws up to the leaves so that it can grow. And as the sun hits those leaves, it takes the energy back so that the roots can grow. Today, you're here by a stream, by a river of water. If you can absorb what you learn and what you take here, it's going to make so that you can learn more. It's going to give you energy to learn more and to be just like this, like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water that can use the outside influence to dig deep and to get some more so that you can absorb more of that. So that's my wish for you today, is to be like this man, this righteous man, that is like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and that when we are passed out of this life and to the end of time, that it will be a blessing to those that are left. May the Lord add his blessing.